This is RSP in the Update, episode 406, recorded Friday, March 29th, 2013. 120 Reasons to Scale. Hello, everybody, and thank you for sitting down with us, sharing your precious time with us for this episode of RSP and the Update. This week, King Kola is back, saying hello once again.
Hello, and it is possible that you're standing up, so if you are, then hello to you too.
And Paul is also here.
Hello.
Who's known as PFK99, SilverWiz9, and hello. Most importantly, the one who got married for one of our contests many years ago. You're probably wishing you never did that, right?
I don't even remember it anymore.
Live with no regrets, Paul.
Was it a shotgun wedding?
Maybe.
What's a shotgun wedding?
Use your imagination.
People
get married, then you shoot yourself right after?
Usually, you get some
mad my daughter,
and then the father gets rather pissed that you got his daughter pregnant, and brings you somewhere and makes you get married. Usually with a shotgun to your back. That's the shotgun wedding.
Oh, okay.
Because you can't have a baby born out of wedlock, because then the world would end.
That's very true. All right. So this week, I forgot to say Trekkie's here.
Oh, it's okay. It ain't the first time he's forgotten about me.
It sure won't be the last either.
Nope.
Okay. So, this week is the Wilderness Warbands update for RuneScape. A little PvP distraction and diversion, which is a little bit different than what they've always done in the past.
And right off the bat, I will just say this now, it is unsafe.
Yeah, it is. Because, of course, you have to go into the wilderness, for one thing, but there is a part of this game where you can actually get killed by another person. So, I'm not sure if this will regenerate PvP in any meaningful way, because I think that community's died down a little bit in the last year or so, but we shall see going forward. But essentially what you need to do is you need to go to this guy who is just across the bridge by that little underhole thing going from the Grand Exchange to Edgeville. You talk to him, and he'll teleport you to where you need to go, assuming you can find one of these events going on, which is the key. Now, these things only seem to happen once every 8 hours. Am I correct in that? That it's once every 8 hours?
I believe the distraction thing is every 8 hours it occurs, so yeah.
And you know, that just doesn't feel right to me, having to reorganize a schedule in order to go do one of these events if you're not playing RuneScape at that time, because there's 24 hours in a day and only having three of them is not a good thing in my opinion. It needs to be something more where you can just queue up and go into it whenever you want, but I'm sure maybe that'll be a change to come later on down the line.
So how did you handle those farming runs that you could only do at certain times of the day?
Well, no, I was in control of when they would happen.
I suppose that's true.
Yeah. So, anyways, with this, you know, I like the idea of it, the idea of having to risk something to get something good, a level 70 new wand and a whole bunch of experience on the order of, I think 80k plus if you got a decent level. So that's pretty good reward from this. But once again, it's just a matter of getting there and doing it. And in my opinion, that's too hard. So that's one thing that needs to be changed about it. Because I actually hung around for probably a good 2 hours at, I think it was like around 8 a.m., GMT probably, and I didn't see any indication that this was going to be happening. So it's like you got to go back and forth and check all the time, which is really, really annoying. So as a result, I didn't actually get to go into one of these war bands.
And, well, let's see. Kala, what do you think?
I think when I first read about this and they referred to it as the new brutal combat D&D, I thought, why are they talking about Dungeons & Dragons? And then I realized, oh, wait, D&D means something else in RuneScape. And I thought, okay, right, distractions and diversions.
Another thing that this is...
I'm always up for more combat stuff in the game, especially when they're trying to revitalize PvP. I mean, it's something that they've let stagnate for so long. So I think it's probably good that they're updating it a bit, even if it does end up kind of useless. They still have the experience of, you know, what works and what doesn't.
And this is happening with respect to what happens after the World Wakes quest, where now all the gods are starting to get anxious and whatnot. So there's different ones that you can encounter. The Ceridomans, the Zamoraks, the Armadil, or the Mandos camp. And then you'll have to defeat certain different things with that. So, I mean, in a way it's a PvP aspect to the whole big lore thing that's happening this year. So I guess that's good in a way. But still... needs to be easier to access. That's the main thing about this. Other interesting things about this is the areas where you can get XP featuring farming, construction, herb lore mining, and smithing. As I said, a decent amount of XP, of course, all dependent on your levels. And like at level 80, it's at least 80k XP. And now, who's going to argue with 80k smithing XP once a day if you do something like this, right? If you're focused on PvP over a whole week, that's going to add up. And same thing goes for herb lore. That's an expensive skill. Construction as well. So there is definitely a reason to do this if you can find when it's happening. So that's the clincher. The other reward they mention that you can come across, but if you try and take it, you'll glow, and then, of course, that's when you can get killed, of course, you know? So that is the part of the game where it becomes dangerous. if you get one of these supplies, you can log out and wait till quieter time after and go turn them in. So there is a bit of a way to avoid some of the danger, but still dangerous, of course, because it's in the wilderness, as it should be. The other reward...
The wand?
Yeah, the wand. You want to talk about that now, or did you have something else to mention?
I was going to mention the wand. So,
okay.
The wand requires level 70 magic in order to use, and it is powerful and tradable. But when you pick it up, you will be broadcast to everyone in the vicinity that, hey, I just got a brand new wand. Come gank me. Huh. So, anyway, when you have it, your prayer points will be completely drained, and you'll become attackable by everyone. And if you have friends like Shane, he may try to kill you.
I never said that.
Shane, how many times have you tried to cannon rush me?
None.
Yes, you have.
No.
Yeah, you have. You tried to cannon rush me before. Yeah, you have.
No, I don't think so.
For anyone who does not play StarCraft 2, cannon rushing is a tactic used by one of the races in the game to get a quick
one of the races
kill in the first few minutes of the game. And if one does not spot the cannon rush, then this is a very humiliating tactic.
But I usually spot it before he sees anything.
Nah, I prefer just to beat him to crap on Stowe.
Stowe, for anyone who is not aware, is called Star Trek Online and is a multiplayer game set in the Star Trek universe.
Yeah, he's never killed me once on that.
Yeah, I have. I rammed you.
No, you haven't.
I rammed you.
Oh, ramming is the act of putting one ship into another on Stowe.
All right, so the Wand of Treachery, it's equivalent to an arms wand. So it's a good way of grabbing one of those. But, I mean, if you can easily get an arms wand, you don't need this. And that's another problem with the whole EOC update, is that weapons really are not that unique anymore. I mean, the arms wand and the wand of treachery are not that different. So I guess it comes down to which one you can get easier. They started the price off at about 5 million, and it's gone up steadily since it came out a couple days back. So I guess that's a good thing. And I mean, you get a wand, you're 5 mil richer. Yay? I don't know. Do you guys think 5 mil is a decent amount of cash in RuneScape these days, or is it pocket change?
Still good cash.
Okay.
Good. Be decent for me.
Okay. Just wondering. Because, you know, sometimes your perspectives get a little skewed when you have 85 million sitting in the bank not doing anything.
Yeah, people's views of money don't tend to get, you know, a bit out of whack when you get so much of it that you don't know what to do with it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the situation.
Yeah, what do you guys consider a lot again?
85 mil. That's what I have right now. I don't know what to do with it.
Okay.
You can invest it.
Or you could buy off political parties.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good.
To be fair, in the United States, it doesn't take all that much. But, yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's pretty much the Warbands is a little distraction and diversion. I'm betting it'll be a piece of forgotten content in a while, seeing as the rewards really aren't that great unless you're shooting for one of those in a specific skill. So I don't really have much else to say about this, except the fact that I'd like to make it easier to access.
Well, quite honestly, none of us here really PvP, so we can't really say too much about it.
Yeah, and you know, it's not true PvP. So, I mean, it might be nice for a rush. I mean, I haven't tried PvP in this form of RuneScape, but the main reason I never did PvP back then is because you have to have, like, a hybrid or a peer to do anything useful. But I think they completely killed that off now. So that's good.
Alright, you can still have fun. I used to have fun on the weekends anyway. But we'd go out with a bunch of people, and that was fun. It'd stay up to, like, you know, 11, 12 o'clock at night, back when that made a difference. And and go out with people on the weekends and just
the one
kill
you
people
married?
Up at the...
what?
At the... what was that arena thing up in...
Major Arena?
Magic Arena or whatever.
Yeah, right up in there. You could just hang out up there or up by the Greater Demon or the Lesser... Greater Demon spawn. Yeah, that was fun.
That was fun way back in the day.
It was way back in the day. And then, you know, you'd go and gank all those stupid bots that would kill the green dragons over there. It was further south, a lot further south. But that was good times. Mm-hmm. Haven't done that.
Yeah, so in a way, this is not true PvP then. All right.
And you remember having a sleeping bag, bringing a sleeping bag into the wilderness?
Okay, we're not that old, Trekkie.
I'm a veteran.
I remember going into the wilderness on RuneScape Classic with Mike to go get a sapphire because it was worth so much.
Jeez.
God, this reminds me of the... When I was a kid, Pluto was a planet.
So. Oh, yeah, that too.
My wallet is older than my girlfriend's brother. So, what's up with that?
When I was a kid, we had to use the sleep.
All right, let's move on to the next topic.
What is the next topic there, Trekkie?
Something is missing. Something is missing.
Well, we better find
you forget.
Nope, I'd say let's go on the patch notes.
So, Shade, why don't you tell us what's missing?
Well, what is this weekend?
The weekend of the...
It's April Fool's Weekend. That's what it is.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
And it's also the day when people can finally indulge on the things they've been not doing for the past 40 days.
Oh, and also...
Because it's Easter!
No, it's the weekend of chocolate. Lots and lots of chocolate.
Chocolate!
To be fair, that's also all right. April.
So, what exactly is missing is the yearly Easter update. It seems as though there is no such thing this year.
Unless they're incredibly late.
Well,
maybe the Easter Bunny doesn't need our help this year.
Yeah, that could be it. We helped him out quite a bit. So,
yeah. I'm sure after all this couple years, he can finally figure it out.
Maybe he got killed by like a moss giant or something.
Oh, yeah, that would be incredibly unfortunate, wouldn't it?
It would be unfortunate.
Because just looking at the history, we had last year, 2011, all the way going back, the only year we missed was 2004.
Mm-hmm.
Last year we had this stupid egg on face thing. The year before that was the sunbeam crown. 2010 was the squirrel years. 2009 was the carrot. 2008 was the chocotrice cape. 2007 was the chicken head. 2006 with the egg ring. 2005 was the rubber chicken. So, unfortunately, no Easter event this year.
The end of an era.
Yep, that's what it seems like. But it'll be interesting to see if they do an April Fool's event.
It'd be like, oh, just kidding, guys. Here's the Easter update.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what? I've been waiting. I don't know how many more years I need to wait, but I want to record an RSBNB update live one day on an April Fool's Day. That would be a good thing to do. Anyways.
You just randomly do it on Monday.
No. All right, so back to the updates that did happen rather than the fictitious Easter update we're hoping will happen. Tweaks and fixes for this week. The promissory note expires on April 1st from last year's sizzling summer, so use up all your XP before the 1st. I assume you and I have done that.
Oh, it's been long used up.
Yep. That got me 80 dungeoneering, and I'm 85 right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how long ago that was. Port totems have been reworked to function consistently and had to offer more benefits. Higher-end capes had their armor values corrected. While the capes have lowered armor values, they still remain the most potent capes in the game. The logbook now states the amount of time until a ship returns.
Thank you.
The Aquanites can now be toggled off, but you'll need to pay points to re-enable them. Avian Seas can now be given as a task by Simona. The Queen Black Dragon now counts as a Black Dragon for Slayer assignments.
Yay!
Several common Slayer creatures had their life points increased.
Don't know which ones yet.
Yeah. Smash now turns off Akrise's prayers for a short time, so that's good. Strategy there for Barrows. Home teleport and dungeoneering will be less likely to be interrupted by combat ending. Automatons drops. Continue. Okay. Left click bank option in a bank side interface is now deposit all, so that's good. And then they extended the Guthix event this week. Rather than needing 250k, it needs only 100,000 essence now, so I'm guessing people haven't really taken on to doing this.
Wow. I guess they really want people to put rune essence in, but no one's putting it in.
Yep, well, I mean, I'm hoping this is not indicative of what's going to be happening later on when they start incorporating more player choice into it, because they give them the player choice right now, and they're not doing it. It's a prayer altar, and, you know, the only reason I haven't done that is because I don't find it that important to have a prayer thing right there. I mean, 90% of the time when I need to charge my prayer up or my summoning stuff, I just go straight to my house because I'm going somewhere else right after that, and I can access everything right there. So that just makes more sense to me. Custom cursors have been updated, sky jump, teleport, bunch of combat EOC changes, mostly pertaining to Nex. So, Nexers will want to read that.
I've been trying to find a funny one, but there's no funny ones.
Yeah,
this
there
one.
Is. There really isn't anything this week that is LOL worthy.
Depressing, because I usually find something to laugh about. But there's no funny business in this one.
The animation when the baby troll jumps into the cannon has been smoothed out.
There was a baby troll that jumped into a cannon? Which one was that one again? Yeah,
I have no idea. That's news to me.
Baby troll.
I don't remember that.
The kill a cow task has been updated to make it more obvious on what steps to take to gain a weapon.
Okay. Guess I don't know how to talk to NPCs, but okay.
Trying to unequip equipment with a full inventory now gives clear feedback on why the item was not unequipped. I have an idea. It's probably because you have
full
inventory.
I got one.
Oh, good,
players can once again view other players' inventories at Daemonheim. However, any flowers will appear as a stack of 1337 mithril seeds.
Oh, they were trying to do the flower game over there, I see.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Too bad.
You know, we knew these things would come around like this, so. Anyways. Shall we move on?
Yes.
Okay. BTS Videos 46, Dungeon and Imps. So, a Dungeoneering update, offhand weapons, ranged and mage shields, and an imp who really loves summoning charms. So this is the Charm Collector. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a nice little tool, I think. You think it's worth 100k Dungeoneering tokens? That's what it's going to cost?
To have a little thing that can hold charms, or?
To automatically pick them up when you get them.
I'd do it.
Okay.
I'd do
it. For 100k?
Hey, I have 300k tokens right now, especially with sinkholes. Sinkholes are good, man. Okay, so next. What else?
So are you gonna get it then?
Of course.
Okay.
It's like having a bone crusher and a coal bag and a gem bag. There's some things you just bring with you. Maybe the herbicide, but that thing kinda sucks.
I don't wanna go dungeoneering.
You never wanna go dungeoneering. Be quiet.
So there's another little option that was mentioned in the video. You're able to tell the imp that you can tell it to keep certain types of charms, and you'll get a small amount of summoning XP. So if you don't want green charms, you can hand it off to the imp and get some summoning XP. So I guess that's a nice little benefit of it.
Yeah, it's probably not much, though, but it's pretty. Well, I mean, it's probably like, what, 3 XP for a gold one or something?
Yeah, but still, that add up over time for some of the green charm tasks.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, there is also another interesting thing in this video. They showed more about the drawing of RuneScape 3. And one very interesting thing that I actually clapped about when I watched this video. There's no more loading between map tiles. Everything is going to be consistent wherever you go. Finally.
That's only been around since, what, RuneScape 2?
Yep. So, and you know, it seems to have gotten progressively more painful over time. So I'm so happy that this is finally going to get fixed.
Probably because it has more and more to load each time with all the updates they've been doing and graphics.
Yeah, and all the graphical changes and everything. They said that RuneScape 3 will be primarily converting to a new engine. All of their modeling work and whatnot is done. So definitely should be interesting to see. And I highly encourage everyone to watch this video, because it's got some really, really good pictures of certain areas, one of them being the Mauritania Slayer Tower. So, have a look.
Okay.
Also, Runespan was in here.
Runespan.
Also, Taverly. So, definitely something to look forward to. And we finally know when this is coming. April 3rd, people are going to be able to sign up. And on April 17th, the HTML5 beta will begin. And those people who have either Silver or Gold Premier Club membership will get instant access, like while us. Everyone else will have to sit behind and wait.
Wait. Yay, Shane, so it paid off.
Yes, it did, and it's good that we get priority access to this. there's just one thing that I hope that they do this time. I hope it's treated like an actual beta where people actually use it to make it better, because we don't want to go through all those kinds of changes that we had when EOC first started. So I just hope it's going to have a better result than the EOC beta did. And it probably will, because the people that get admitted to the beta will actually be on the same server as the people who are not in the beta. So it helps.
I wonder if they're going to stick to these dates, okay, or if they're going to postpone at some point.
I don't know. As with betas and everything, it's hard to tell.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens when it comes up. So, and I guess we'll be, I doubt they'll have a RS client for us to use to play it. So I'm guessing a lot of us will be using Chrome.
I already use Chrome.
I know that, but I don't like using Chrome to play RS.
Why not?
I like the client better. So I like having the client.
You can have what looks like a little Pokeball interface. The Chrome icon.
Pokeball interface? Nay.
Yeah, the Chrome icon used to look like a Pokeball.
Yes, we remember. It still does.
It's flatter.
Just, you know, become more red.
Anyways.
Unless you're wearing 3D glasses, of course it'll be flat.
Yep. All right. Oh, and also, April 24th is when the new interface alpha begins. April's going to be a fun month.
Yeah.
We'll see if this lives up to everything I've been hoping for all these years.
Don't psych yourself up too much.
Yeah, I know. It is Jagex after all, right?
Yeah, you don't want to set yourself up for disappointment.
Yeah.
He's
That's
already
true.
Disappointed All right. that they introduced some of this stuff 10 years ago.
Well, no, the technology didn't exist 10 years ago. So, anyways, in a way, I'd say it's better to have this than having something done in C++ and something like WoW. Anyways, that's it. Ready to move on to questions, everyone?
Questions? Yeah. Let's see. We got anything else you want to say?
Nope.
Nada. So we'll see you in the beta.
Yep, and we came up one question short from doing a live show this week. We got 4 audio questions. The cutoff is 5 for that.
So yes, we're one short, that, guys. Just one short.
All right, the first one is from Zant.
Dear Shane, Trekkie, and King Colin, do any of you play a musical instrument? I play the alto, tenor, and soprano saxophones, as well as the ocarina, and I have a decent idea of how to play piano. Thank you for answering my question, and have a good day.
I do not play an instrument. The closest I came to that was in elementary school music class, playing handbells and the xylophone.
Did you do well at it?
Handbells?
Yes,
cowbell.
I did.
Did you like it?
I did. I did. I did the bells, yes.
Why didn't you continue with it?
More appealing things appeared.
Have a cow, man. Like Star Trek.
No. No.
Ladies appeared.
Okay, what about you, Kala?
All the ladies.
Well, I used to play the drums and the piano and the guitar, but I kind of stopped playing the guitar and the piano because I kind of lost interest in them. I still play the drums from time to time, but not very much. And I also play the violin, but I've kind of had to dial back on my appearances, shall I say, but for school and
your left side work. Of your brain.
Yeah, pretty much. I've been way too busy, but I'd like to get back into it and play again. I like music.
You could contract out and go play weddings and funerals.
Happy day of the year and a terrible one, too.
Okay.
And I do not play a single instrument.
But I'm... So.
That counts.
What is that noise?
Just some water dropping. It's okay.
I see.
Yeah.
All right.
Were you dropping into your room?
Don't
I used to play. I played the flute. I used to play the flute all throughout high school and play a little bit the piano. But my pianos, because we're never that great. My pianos was more of I could never split my brain enough to play the treble clef and the.
And the bass.
What's the other one?
Bass clef. Yeah, it is kind of difficult. I agree.
I can never split my brain enough to in order to do that. Well, I'm sure if I could, I'll be a grandmaster in StarCraft too, though.
What kind of flute was it?
Interestingly enough, there's really mostly only one kind of flute. Interestingly enough, a lot of top StarCraft II players actually play the piano on the side.
Well, you know, that makes sense with the amount of finger movements you have to do.
Yeah, it's a lot of practice for keeping your hands in shape, I guess.
Especially and it's also one of those things where if you can play Beethoven's Fifth Symphony with only you on the piano, I'm pretty sure you can spam 400 APMs a minute.
Actions per minute per minute?
Per minute, yeah. I wasn't going to say anything, but...
Hey man, it's an acceleration, you know? Every minute it gets better.
Ooh, it's like freaking gravity.
Yes.
Did you play this on the flute?
Play what? Inner Light?
Yeah.
I knew you would say that too, and no, I haven't had the opportunity to play it yet. I tried it on the recorder about a year ago, but it was so bad. I was like, oh, I don't remember how to play what notes is what on the recorder anymore. Flute!
Oh yeah, I played that too. Everyone got one of those for free in the school.
I probably got my recorder around here somewhere.
Yes.
Had to use that.
Yeah, I've had that recorder since elementary school, and we managed to find it one more time. I found it was like buried beneath like a. All bunches of my old stuff. I was like, oh, really? This is still here? I thought I lost this. But, yeah, that's basically it. I would like to get back and start playing the flute again. The only problem is I have no place to really play it without, you know, waking people up around the neighborhood.
Go out to the park.
And open up a little chest and ask them for donations.
Yep. Okay, I'm sorry that the half of us here don't play an instrument, but that's kind of what happens with the life of people who are more interested in digital things than computers. So,
talking about music can be digital. A lot of composers create things just on their computer, and they don't even play an instrument.
You remember was it Mario? What was that Mario Music Maker thingy?
the music thing off of Mario Paint.
Yeah, was it Mario Paint?
Yeah, it was Mario Paint. You could go to the music thing. It was the game that also had the fly swatter thing on it.
What are you guys talking about?
Halo songs and everything else.
What, you've never heard of Mario
Halo and Dragon Force?
No.
Man, you have some research here, my friend. Mario Paint was awesome. Yeah. It was the only Super Nintendo game that actually had a mouse.
Okay.
Awesome.
Actually, anything else on music before we move on?
Music's great. Now I can move on.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, next one's from Killjoy.
Hello, Shane, Trekkie, and Color. I have a quick question for you today. If you could star in any movie, what movie would it be? Why would you pick that movie? And do you think you could have done a better job than that actor did? Also, if your life was one video game, what video game would you pick? Alright guys, have a good one. Thanks. Killjoy.
Alright, let's start with Paul.
Alright, Shane.
One.
All right, so what was it? Pick a video game and
a movie.
And a movie.
That you
so
could
star
in.
So movies I'd like to be in or movies
yes.
I think are freaking awesome?
That you could star in.
Star
that you'd
of
like
the movie.
To be in.
Oh, I don't know. Movies that I'd like to star in. What happens at the Playboy Mansion again? Anything? No? I don't know. I don't know what kind of.
It's a little PG-13 there.
A little PG, yeah, just 13. No higher. Don't worry about it.
You think anyone would actually get parental guidance for that?
No.
That would be pretty awkward. Just
we're
saying.
We're all over 18. We're all born in 1901, right? January 1st.
1901.
That's when, well, I mean, it doesn't really matter. In any case, I do
I
like the Assassin's Creed video games, though. I don't know if I'd want to basically screw my entire family over to become an assassin, but it'd be pretty cool.
Unless you're a guard. Like, that would kind of suck.
Oh, yeah, that would kind of blow. Oh, yeah, movie. Just throw me in Star Trek. I'd be pretty happy. It seems like a pretty chill thing. I'd even go in the new movies.
Yeah, I'll second that. I'll second that.
Well, duh.
I'll just have to stay with some red shirts.
Yeah, never wear a red shirt. I don't even like red. I usually wear blue.
You know what blue shirt is supposed to be, right?
Doctor?
You're the druggie. You're the drug dealer.
Yeah. With the stim packs. Not stim packs. Hypos.
Hypo sprays.
Hypos.
All right. Kala, what movie would you like to star in?
I don't know. I think it's a toss-up between a DreamWorks animated movie, because those are always
really?
Cool. Or a Jim Carrey comedy, because I think that would be very funny.
You'd have to go back to like the 90s, though.
Maybe, but it could be now. It could be now. I would make it better. I'd sell.
Okay.
Well, you kill a laugh, I'm sure you would.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, go into comedy. I'm sure you would.
I've got a good radio voice, even if my...
All right.
As for a video game, I'm not sure what video game I'd love to be. I think we might have done this question before, because a lot of video game settings are ones that are so hardly wanting to live in, but I don't know. I'll go with what I've said before. I think
Grand Theft Auto?
Mass Effect pre-Reaper Invasion.
Yeah, but then the Reaper Invasion is just going to happen.
Yeah, but I'd die before then.
Oh,
like
okay.
Like in
no
150
worries, then.
Years before then.
Isn't that now, though?
No, that would be 150
okay.
years from now.
Oh, okay. Is this 300
so it could,
years out?
It could still happen. It could still happen. I'd love to get to space. That would be cool.
Yeah, it would. Well, you could do that in a Star Trek movie.
You could, I suppose. But I didn't want to say Star Trek.
Let's see.
Right, because two of us have already said that.
I know.
Oh, that's good. All right. Thank you, Killjoy, for that one. Oops. Oh, shit.
Did you forget Trekkie again?
Told you.
Yes.
I told you when you lost.
Told you. I was right. You know, earlier today, I said I was right. Let's see. What movie would I be in? I really don't have a freaking clue.
Titanic.
What movie would I...
Not to be racist, but like a martial arts movie.
Bruce Lee in.
Why not Titanic? Be the guy that Leo played, who froze and went to the bottom of the ocean.
So you want me to die?
But you gotta do Kate Winslet before that. So
you wouldn't die anyways. You'd kind of be undead because your heart would go on.
Oh, no. Her heart goes on for him. His heart stops. He's dead.
So really, you could be part of the Titanic and be part of The Walking Dead as well.
But there's the question, though.
100 years later.
Are The Walking Dead the zombies or the people that are left over?
Okay, movie. You know what?
The Wrath of Khan.
Oh.
And you're Khan.
So I'm a superior...
As long as you're nowhere near Kirk when he yells out Khan, because that could probably, that could probably hurt your ears a little bit, you know?
Let's see. You know what? I go to... You know what? Just for the heck of it, I'll go into Polar Express. Christmas Eve 24/7.
Make sure you bring a sweater.
Hey, you get to hang out with Tom Hanks all the time.
I know. Think about it.
Go to Edmonton. It's kind of the same thing.
Or the Da Vinci Code, speaking of Tom Hanks.
Yeah, but the Da Vinci Code universe
is... Oh, right. I got to look up that stuff. Mark Rusinovich.
Okay.
Well, anyway, as for video game, I'd go to Dragon Age. That's for kicks and giggles. Be a powerful mage. Where, like, anyone that wants to mess with me, be like, here, Blizzard. Inferno. All right, let's move on to the next one. Blizzard, Inferno. Let's move on to the next one. Blizzard, Inferno. Blizzard, Inferno. All right, they're all dead. Let's collect the loot.
Yeah, but Dragon Age, it's the Middle Ages, which means Middle Ages health. Like,
I'm a freaking mage that can burn someone, and I can drink a small potion to reheal myself. I'm pretty sure I would be a medical person over there with my magical powers and become a sorceress and
so then you
be
just
known.
Become greedy and take over.
Becoming a sorceress, a female sorcerer.
Well, he does have some pretty cool powers.
How about it.
All
yes,
right,
I would have the power to mesmerize men everywhere.
That's
you
if
killed
you survive
for that
the
question.
Harrowing and the Templars don't kill you, because that would be pretty
got
bad.
Got the whole. Range of ideas here, so thank you.
Yes,
for that
but then
question.
I'll grab the human horn.
The human horn. Oh God, now you're talking about Futurama.
Yes.
Are you guys finished?
Yep.
No, we're not finished.
Okay. Nope.
Stop trying to put this on. We're having fun.
Okay.
Okay, now we're finished. Go on.
All right. Next one is from Murumska.
Hi, host Murumska here again. Recorded my audio question for a second time. Anyways. If Jagex came out with a RuneScape theme jewelry set, would you wear it? You know, such as an amulet of magic or onyx amulet, would you wear it? And what do you think home game consoles can improve on the next generation? What should they do? What type of graphics card or functionality they should have to keep up with times, as we clearly see the Xbox and lesser extent PlayStation going out of date? And lastly, is it normal to like two people at once as a relationship? I thought of this question at work the other day because I was bored. Anyway, talk to you next time. RuneScape out.
Wow.
Alright, so let's start from the top. RuneScape jewelry. I would, if it had magical powers, I could go for an amulet of glory to teleport me to four places in Canada, or I could also go for an onyx ring of stone to turn me into a rock. So yeah, sure.
Why a rock?
I don't know. I thought, why wouldn't it be nice to be a shapeshifter?
So you're going to be that guy.
And solo from the pet rock.
The dude.
Oh, so I'd be someone's pet rock then. Mm. Yeah.
Yes. Then we'll toss you. Someone will pick you up and throw you across the pond into the lake.
No, but in all seriousness, I think that if they did put out something like an amulet of glory or something that was, or a magic amulet that was for an actual type necklace, I'm sure people would buy it. Bracelets, I'm sure you could incorporate some kind of watch into them, so sure, someone would. But, you know, I just, in the modern era, I don't see much jewelry on guys aside from the odd ring or bling, watch. Bling. So, you know.
Bling, bling.
Why not the ring of life?
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a very good idea. Very good.
Teleports to your respawn point. If you have fewer than 10 life points, get cured of any poison. Like, that's pretty darn powerful. I think I might actually wear that.
Have you ever gone that low on that many life points?
No, I'm thankfully been quite healthy during my life. Nor have I really gotten
because poisoned. In real life, you know, there's no respawn in Lumbridge when you die.
Respawn back.
I guess this means you respawn in the hospital.
Would I wear any RS jewelry? Probably not. Let's see. Maybe a game necklace. I can, because there's more places to move around. But that depends on where it is, and that necklace will be hidden under my shirt. And only time I bring it out is when I don't know. I'm rubbing it to teleport somewhere.
Okay.
You know what I just thought about?
Bring it out is when you start rubbing it. Okay.
You know what I thought about? Very funny. The Ring of Life, if it teleports you to your respawn point, and you have your respawn point set as Lumbridge, would it teleport you into the game?
Oh, bum, bum, bum.
That's it. You'd be pixelized.
Ooh, Archer. Hmm.
I don't know. That's an interesting question.
RuneScape philosophy.
Hmm. Don't cross the
It
streams.
Is magical, ooh, after all. So, anyways, Paul, your take on this one?
Can wear some type of jewelry in real life? Sure.
Yeah.
A lot of them give you plus strength, so I don't see why you wouldn't wear that. Just saying.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Even though the imbued rings and whatnot. Not only...
Or you could just go to the gym. I mean...
Or I could just take on a necklace and be like, eh, screw the gym, I'm already done. And then, like, punch the guy at the
Actually,
gym.
No, they don't give those anymore in EOC. They just give critical chance bonuses.
So, there really is no reason to ever go back to RuneScape, is what you're trying to tell me.
No, I'm just saying that if you wanted to wear one of those in real life, just if you ever hit someone, you'd have a higher chance of hurting them more.
No, I'd rather have the strength bonus.
Okay, that doesn't exist anymore.
Sounds like I don't want to wear any stupid jewelry then. Hmm. Actually, yeah, no, wait, take that back. Give me the
Ring of Power.
Give me the diamond one so I can freaking sell it somewhere and make some money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you'd only get gold pieces, which are actually worth quite a bit, so maybe this is a good idea.
Yeah, I don't see where the problem is. I fail to see the negative in this plan.
How big are gold pieces in RuneScape?
I don't
know. We never really seen one. Like you just see them in your inventory, but at the same time, if you drop one on the ground, it's the same size as your foot. So I honestly...
Oh, so 2,000 gold pieces would be quite a lot of money then.
Yes, it would.
Huh. So 85 million gold pieces. Wow, you'd be richer than Fort Knox.
Yep. All right. So, yes and no to that one. How would we improve the next-gen consoles? Now, this is an interesting one. For me, personally, I'd build it out of standard PC parts to make it more competitive with PC gaming type stuff. Kind of like a Steam box, except from Microsoft or Sony. And when you think about it, really, does it make sense for them to be using their own architectures these days when in the last couple of years, the PC hardware has really taken off compared to the consoles that are out there now and people are, still think are the greatest things in sliced bread?
Yeah. It's always funny when a new game comes out. You even look up some of the BioShock videos of the graphics. It's night and day between PC and Xbox. And you can even play on a low-end PC and still blow away an Xbox or a PS3. And then someone else was pointing out that if you look at the sounds, or not look at, but if you listen to the sound quality in both on both console and on PC, you notice an immediate difference in terms of how much they had to compress it to fit on the damn disc.
So, basically, I'm guessing that we think consoles should just die and everyone should use the Steam box.
I don't even mind the fact that consoles exist. It's nice that there's something that's already pre-built that you don't have to bother messing with. But the fact that the next gen, as far as I'm aware, are going to be based around x86 and have standard-ish hardware in them means that they're not going to have to compile a whole lot differently between the Xbox, the PS3, or the PC. So, wouldn't you think that would mean a ton of games that didn't need a whole lot of specialized optimization? Plus, you might want to buy an AMD graphics card because NVIDIA won't have optimizations anymore. But that's a different factor.
Exactly. And as we were saying, that also opens up a whole other thing for the Steam box, too. So, hopefully the standard hardware is a good thing.
The legit Steam box will be better than the current XIO or whatever the hell that thing is, the $1,000 piece of crap. No, seriously, it's way underpowered for that kind of price. It's really small, which is cool, but it's maybe $300-ish, probably even lower than that in terms of hardware.
Are you talking about Macs or the Steam box?
There's this box that's known as the Steam box that's not the official one, but it's one of the ones that will be supported, quote-unquote, is the XIO Piston. It can fit in your hand. It's like around the same size as a Apple TV, except I think it's a little bit smaller and taller. I don't know. But it's got an APU inside, a low-end AMD CPU-GPU combo. I don't think it has any moving parts. It's got a solid-state hard drive, which I don't think you can upgrade because they're charging ridiculous amounts of money for them. I think it comes with like a 128 gig drive to begin with, and then to upgrade to a 256, it's an extra like $250, $300. It's a terrible price. cool size, but the price is about double what anything around that should be, even with the size. But that's
one thing.
Different story.
One thing I'd like to see with the next-gen consoles, actually two things. On the Microsoft one, I'd like to see Blu-ray.
Which they're going to have. There.
And I would like to see all the games to be downloaded from the cloud, and then you just store them on your hard drive, and then you remove them if you don't want them anymore. Kind of just make everything cloud-based so you don't have to worry about DVDs, you don't need to go out to the store to buy things, that sort of thing.
It's awfully nice on the PC. I haven't bought a game since we're in World at War, which was, by the way, not a great purchase. I didn't even open it. I played it before I bought it, and then I never even used the disc. I still have it sitting over. I can see it right now. But why would you want a Blu-ray player on your Xbox if you don't even need to have it there?
Well, just if you're using it as a media center thing, you know?
Oh, don't let Microsoft play you into that.
Well, you know, actually, since Trekkie's here, Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think of the whole download thing? Because I know with StarCraft you made a stink about not purchasing the digital version because you wanted a hard copy.
I just wanted the box. It's a nice box. I got a free notepad in it. Something I would not have gotten if I had just bought a digital copy. It's a very nice notepad.
Free notepad.
Yes. A free notepad.
You oh, didn't I got get one with the first notepad.
I yeah, did, me too. Shane.
I still have mine.
I still got it.
Let's I've only about right halfway here. Through it now.
Oh, okay.
I still
yeah,
use it.
It's right down here. Still got it. That's good.
Yeah,
I see. Okay.
It's right by my side here.
What? But anyways, aside from that, that's what I want to see improved on it. What about you, Kala? What would you like to see?
More Hot Pockets!
I'm not sure what I'd like to see more, because it's hard for them to balance, you know, more advanced hardware and the price, because if you make it too expensive, then people won't buy it anyways. So, what I just want to see is more consistency between console ports and PC ports. Like, I just want them to fully use, you know, the PC for what it can do with game developers.
Well, you know, with x86 being the platform of choice, that should be easier to accomplish.
It should be being the operative phrase there, right?
Yeah.
So, but you know, it's actually going to happen.
You can have people like EA and whatnot who decide not to do that, but that's just coming down to them. Anyways, yeah. Are we done with that one?
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay. On to the last part of this question. Patrick, is there something you want to talk about on this one with your little chuckle there?
With my little chuckle?
Yes.
It is possible to love more than one person. However,
it is socially
difficult.
Unacceptable to do so.
Yes.
And legally unacceptable as well.
Some
because that is what is known as polygamy.
Depending on where you are.
Unless you're in Utah.
Or Bountiful, BC.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's their... Heard. That was their idea for that. Was
yeah. Oh, really? Oh.
Did
documentary
you know
I watched didn't mention that.
You know that in Utah, the Church of Latter-day Saints, the leader, Joseph Smith, said he got word from God that polygamy was all right. And then when the Supreme Court said, no, it's not okay, he said that God basically talked to him again and said it wasn't right anymore. So it was very convenient.
Yeah. Joseph Smith was a... interesting type of fellow. I suggest people watch the South Park episode dedicated to that man.
Or just watch it in general.
In general. I think they should start in, I think, October.
No, we're not having that endorsement on this show.
Too late. I already did it.
Anyways,
okay, let's move on to the next one.
Unless anyone else had any ideas?
Well, I was going to say, like Patrick said, it is possible, I bet. But the question of whether or not you want to do that is something you must consider very carefully and consider about your local jurisdictions, about what they have to say about that.
Not to mention, I think it's morally wrong to, you know, love someone and then, you know, not tell them about this other person that you love.
Yeah.
If all parties know what's going on and they're all fine with it, then and your country is fine with it, then it all depends on your personal morals, I suppose.
Uh-huh.
Do you have anything to disagree with that, Shane?
Just you know, the usual stuff. In this area where I have to side with traditional values and whatnot, but you know, come to think of it, Star Trek Enterprise was probably promoting polygamist values.
Why? Because he had
regarding
the doctor.
I don't even remember
having,
what he did.
Having Dr. Phlox, you know,
yeah, I know
having three
the
wives.
Doctor is. I just don't know.
Yeah, he had three pictures. Wives.
Shane, say someone has never watched this Star Trek Enterprise thing you're mentioning. Explain to us what you're talking about.
The doctor on the show.
Yes.
Oh, his species like to have many women there. Okay, we can move on now. Let's go.
Yes,
God,
there we go.
Just
you
say
just...
the damn thing. Why do I have to do it?
Thank you. You summed it up very nicely. I was going to put it in more...
Delicate terms?
Yes, delicate terms. There you go.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, Maremska. Our last audio question now is from Parnassius.
Hey guys, Parnassius here. With the news last week of the upcoming release of RS3 and HTML5, do you think this may be a good opportunity for Jagex to increase the max level of skills to 120, or at least in the combat area? With so many players having max capes, is this a way to revitalize the game and make skills such as smithing and herbal or more useful? Shane's poll last week was based on finding the game a grind now. If new farming areas and gameplay opened up, could you see players getting excited over it, or would they rage because they need to level up again? Love to hear your ideas on it. Anyway, as always, hope you are well, and continue your adventures in the RuneScape. Bye.
You know, I would love it if farming and herbler continued on to level 120.
I'm sure
but, I honestly don't think that they would do this, because Dungeoneering was a special case, because there was so much content in there that it was hard to fit everything together. And that is what they said pertaining to this. And, you know, in all seriousness, you can go to level 120 in terms of XP, but you just don't get the new things to plant, which is what, in my view, makes it rewarding to me. Reaching that achievement, able to plant the next type of tree. That's what I went for when I was farming. So unless it actually officially went to 120, I don't think that would be a good substitute for me, but I would very much like to see that one day in the future. Because you can't tell me that 10 years down the line, smithing is fine how it is, and then imagine another 5 years from now, a smithing still has rune at level 99 when there's so much better stuff out there. So, I mean, kind of doesn't make sense in that regard. So I think it's inevitable that we'll see that, just not right now.
Okay.
Yep. Anyone else want to chime in on 120?
I say no. I just say
okay.
No. Maybe some news. I'm just going to say this. I don't feel like getting trying to get 120 crafting or 120 fishing or cooking again. I did it. All right. No, I'm not going to do that again. That's it. That's
okay.
My thing.
Wouldn't the guy on the top of the high scores, like, just, you know,
smile automatically go there? Yeah. Yeah, that's true, actually.
All those 200 people?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that wouldn't really help them, would it?
No.
Imagine if you were just getting your last 99. The day you decided to get it, you just get to 99, and then they decide... Then you see the system update, and you're like, oh, this looks cool. It comes back. It's like, oh, all skills now are increased to 120. And like, wouldn't
no
that suck?
No longer maxed anymore. Yeah, it would. Suck so they'd still have to keep the conventional max cape, though. And Paul would have to come back.
They'd have to have a super max cape.
It's not the way it works.
Yeah, it would.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. Nope.
Okay.
Yep.
Anything else?
Nope.
Nope.
Alright then, let's move to the next thing, shall we?
Yep.
Read it.
Why don't I have to read it?
Hey, RSBNB Clan, Killzone BM12 here. I have a quick question for you guys. Since there was a bit of a teaser for RuneScape 3 in last week's Behind the Scenes, do you see us getting our hands on a small beta before the launch this summer, or will we just seeing screenshots and small videos produced by Jagex? What are your guys' opinions of us, the players, getting a beta to play around with before the launch to see how our computers run with the new format?
Well, as we mentioned earlier, the beta will be coming out in April, so we already know it's coming, so that's good. But as to how I feel about that, I think it's definitely a good thing to be involving people in it, because Jagex only has so much hardware that they can test with, and there's so many cases with all the kinds of different hardware out there. Definitely makes sense to involve the players in it. As I briefly mentioned, I hope that the beta is executed better than the Evolution of Combat beta, because the Evolution of Combat beta, in my opinion, didn't really go on far enough with everything being changed. So they need to truly make sure that this is worthy of release once they put it out.
Cool, get it.
Ow.
Anyone else?
Betas are good, aren't they? Like, yeah, who doesn't like the idea of a beta? You know, it gives you a chance to try something out a bit beforehand, gives you, you know, a chance to try new things, and to see how things work. So, it's probably a good thing that they're doing a beta, rather than just foisting it on us all at once, right?
Because if they did, I mean, we'd have all sorts of issues and probably bigger issues than we saw with construction and whatnot, because it is a substantial engine change that's going to be happening. And engine changes can always cause strange things to happen, as we know from years of experience. So, overall, good thing. Just need to...
Be some screenshots and videos as well, right? So
yeah, they did mention that next week we'll be seeing the new UI for the first time, so that's good. I'm looking forward to that. But another thing with this, they need a better way of figuring out who the stuff is coming from. They need a specific, like, they need to keep it small enough that everything can be looked at, but not as widespread as the EOC beta was. Because the EOC beta, they had people coming in every weekend trying to find out what the heck was happening, and that flooded the forums. So I actually think that they need to have a smaller beta, and maybe giving it out to the Gold Premier Club members was a bad thing. They should give it out to people who are experienced running betas before, because the point of a beta is not to see how it runs for your system in general. The point of it is to, yes, see how it runs in general, but also provide meaningful feedback back to the company at hand.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so, anything else? I got nothing to say about this. It happens. It's released when it's released.
Yep. Going once.
Released when it's ready.
Going twice.
Sold.
Gone.
Highest bidder.
Yes. All right. Patrick, Kala, you can read this last one.
Sure. I will read the last one. The last one is a question from Forged. Dear Shane, Trekkie, and Kala, and Paul, since he's here too. Since Trekkie loaned me a monumental sum of cash to help me finish up a Herblore goal of mine, I have been looking to hone my craft on something else. The problem is, since my return, I don't know what would benefit my character the most. I used to pound out my Slayer tasks, but previously rewarding drops seemed to have taken a nosedive. So what do you think is the most beneficial skill in RuneScape? and why?
Okay. Agility. I don't know. With the new agility update, it's not as useful. Well, shortcuts are nice.
I mean, it's hard to tell what's going on here because I have 99 agility, so it's hard to see if it really was worth that much. So I don't know. What do I think my most useful skill is?
For me, it's crafting.
Smithing.
That's okay.
One of my...
I mean, we go, but these change from time to time. I mean, back this time last year, when I was doing the daily sandstone and whatnot, crafting was my most useful skill because you could sell these prayer flasks or flasks in general and make a good amount of money. So, kind of depends on what updates come out. So, crafting is good. You know, of my skills, I'd have to say that Herb Lore is the most useful because potions are pretty expensive. And as a person who does Herb Lore, I have lots of herbs lying around and whatnot. So, pretty much if I need a potion, most times I'm just missing a secondary ingredient. So, I can just go and pick those up on the exchange and make my own potions and, huge quantity. So, that's useful to me. I'd say that's my most useful.
Herb Lore was really useful.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. Got a lot of stuff. Saved a lot of money by doing it. Plus, it complements farming pretty well, and I know you like that, so...
Yep.
Honestly, I think hit points would be the most useful, because then you don't die very often.
But still, I mean... Once you're past 90, it really doesn't matter for two reasons. First one being that it's only extra 90 life points at base. But now you can also boost your hit points by the armor you're wearing. So, I mean, kind of hard to say.
I wasn't expecting you to just take the answer so seriously.
Oh, really?
No.
Okay.
I suppose if you're religious, prayer would be the most beneficial skill, at least.
I was going to say that, actually, because Soul Split is a good prayer at level 92.
Once again, I'm surprised you took it so seriously.
Always does. You're getting on the wrong horse here, dude.
Yeah. So, I guess wood cutting wouldn't be a very good skill, because you're kind of destroying the environment, right?
Nah, destroying the environment's a good thing.
Oh, okay, so you must like fire making as well, then.
Yep.
He's a pyromaniac.
Arsonist.
Alright, thank you, Forged, for that question.
Hey?
Yep. Alright, on to tech news. Facebook this week is apparently going to be coming out with a heavily modified version of Android running on an HTC phone.
So, who's the market potential for this group? Facebook addicts?
I have no idea.
Sounds like Facebook addicts.
Yeah, that could be it, but is Facebook really something that people need a dedicated phone for?
Yeah, it's
most people do.
Phone.
Don't call it a phone.
It's a little personal computer.
It's a Palm.
What?
It's
phone?
A Facebook Palm Pilot.
Oh, an HTC phone.
HTC.
Okay.
What? You know, Trek, I thought you said Bomb Pilot first, and then you said, then I realized you said Palm Pilot. I'm sorry.
A bomb pilot would be a good phone.
Right, okay.
Piloting a bomber.
It's very dangerous.
But, you know, I just don't see this going over too well because Facebook, most people seem to have a love-hate relationship with that thing, and I don't see why having a dedicated device would be a good thing when people are typically concerned about the privacy of it. So that's one thing. And the second thing is that the applications are on pretty much every phone that's already out there, so why bother having a dedicated handset for it? I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me. But I mean, we've been hearing about this forever, and so
I don't know, but it seems like almost every week, every other week, there's a news on Facebook.
Yeah, that is entirely true. So maybe it is time to step away from that.
Yes. Yeah, so,
but question for you guys: would you trust a Facebook modified version of Android to be your phone?
I don't have Facebook, so using that is pointless to me.
I don't give my trust easily to companies. So no.
Okay. What about you, Paul?
I have no incentive to do so at current time, so I don't think there's a need. I mean, what are they going to give me that Google doesn't already give me?
Exactly. So that's my main thing behind this, is I don't think it makes much sense. Didn't somebody try this back in the beginning before the first iPhone came out and they failed with something?
Yeah, I think there was the Helix or something like that, but that thing disappeared within a couple months.
Yeah.
Anyway,
probably not a good thing.
I never know. It is Facebook. I mean, they have the money to throw around a little bit.
Yeah, and the invite says, "Come see our new home on Android."
Home.
April 4th, 2013.
ET phone home.
ET phone home.
That was pretty good.
That means next week we'll be recording the show on First Contact Day. On April 5th.
All right. So anyway, our next piece of tech news, we have Windows Blue has been leaked online.
You know, when I first saw this, I thought that it was a joke story, because why would Microsoft call it Windows Blue? Just seems like that's a very sad version of the operating system.
Well, they're probably pretty sad that it leaked out. Ha ha.
Aww.
I'm sorry, that joke was kind of sad. I'm sorry. Ha ha!
Okay.
Windows Blue,
isn't
though.
Is that what you call a double entendre?
No.
Entendre.
Entendre.
It's Spanish. It's not really Spanish.
It's French.
Okay. So, essentially what's happening is smaller tile arrangements for things that don't matter, and larger tile arrangements for things that do matter, like the desktop. More color personalization, and additional snap views, so you can have, for instance, more applications side-by-side, so a 50% view, so you could have two Metro applications side-by-side, each taking 50% of the screen rather than just the side corner, you know, how you can already do that right now, is what you do is you can have an application and you can drag it to the right-hand side of your screen or the left-hand side of your screen, and it takes up about the 20% side right there, and then it can just live there and display whatever you want. So if you want a permanent weather widget, that works, or maybe a stock widget or something like that. But now you can actually have it take half the screen, which is actually a little bit more useful.
Yeah, I do half. Paul, you're the only one. 50-50s all the time. I can't believe that. I mean, I unless you have
how
that
do you
crappy
do that? I haven't been able to get something to do
Windows
that,
left, Windows right.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I can because I get dual monitors at least when I'm on my desktop, so I can drag to the far right or the far left, but you can't really get it in the middle, so you have to use the Windows arrow keys.
Yeah, and you know, I'm
that works. And sometimes I've had four documents all going at the same time, and it works fantastic. That's why I can't stand those lower resolution screens. Like my mom, she's got the 1366 by 768,
you can't do two things on that at once. It just doesn't work. You need to have at least 1400 or 1600 by 1050.
So what do you think of these changes? Because you and I are the only ones here that actually use Windows 8.
Well, they need to fix Metro. There's no real need to have it yet. And I don't know. I haven't downloaded the pre-release thing to try it out, but the features don't look all that different, other than the fact that Metro could be actually usable at this point. But then again, I haven't really used Metro up till now. I don't know why I'd start now.
And the reason you haven't used it is because the applications out so far are crap for it. All the good application developers are invested in the mobile space.
All the good developers already have applications for the desktop. There's no need to use anything else.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, there's mobile, but I don't know. I haven't found really all that much that I don't. There's no mobile application that I check that I don't already do on the desktop. I mean, it just...
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really hope they don't charge for this thing.
That's what I was just listening to Windows Weekly today, and Paul Thrott was saying he can't imagine that they would charge for it because it would fragment the market, and the market's already pretty small. So for them to charge for it would say it's called Windows 8.1 or something. Then you'd have Windows 8, and then you already have a fragmentation of an already small market share to 8.1. And it's like, well, even if it was like $5-$10, it was just stupid. And then just should roll it out, maybe not even call it a service pack, but just like roll it out. And sure, I'll get it then. I don't have a reason not to, certainly. But yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Uh-huh. Either of you two on Windows 7 eager to update to Windows 8?
Not really. I try Windows 8. Cousin Benny has it, and I have no real use for it.
It's really nice when you start up, and other than that, it's not a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's lots of good little under-the-hood tweaks, isn't there?
Oh, yeah.
I think I'll just stick with Windows 7 for now.
Yeah, it took you long enough to get off Vista, so we'll just leave you on 7.
My dad is still on Vista, and he has a brand new Windows 7 laptop. I don't get it. It's got fucking solid state drive, 8 gig of RAM.
Technically, my laptop still is on Vista, so I never did switch off of it. I just now have a Windows 7 desktop, which I use more often now.
All right, so what's this next thing you got for us?
Regarding Mozilla and Epic Games port the Unreal Engine 3 to the browser with no plugins required. Necessary. One of those two words, both suffice. So, with some version of Firefox to be released in the future, or if you're on a nightly, you can go ahead and get it now. From what I understand, Mozilla has created some new JavaScript engine that is really highly optimized as long as you follow a set of rules that they have. And if you don't follow a set of rules and your application rather doesn't follow a set of rules, it doesn't use that the extra fast rendering engine. But your application will still work fine because JavaScript is JavaScript. Doesn't really matter. In any case, because they were able to port Unreal Engine 3 to use this uber-optimized code, they have the entire engine running in a browser, which is freaking crazy just because a couple of years ago you got Quake Live in a browser, which is pretty awesome. And now you get Unreal Engine 3 running in a browser. You can play Unreal Tournament Black's the one that's on 3, I believe. So you can play that in your browser, and it will work just fine. No problems. That's pretty cool. That's
crazy. Yeah,
except the beta will be coming out, I believe, in a couple months. few weeks, sorry. So yeah, sometime mid-April.
That's interesting, considering RuneScape is also doing this year. So
yeah, which is also, well, it's HTML5, so yeah, probably crap ton of JavaScript.
Yep. So great work in general on this front, and it's amazing how fast the browsers are this day and age that you can actually play full games on them like this. So definitely going to be an interesting year. Though I don't think we'll get to a point where we'll be seeing games deployed and played in browsers entirely. I think you're still going to need the desktop interaction for some of the more complex things going forward.
I'd rather keep it that way. Yes, don't want to get too much tied up just in the browser.
Yeah, and then that becomes a point of failure, and it's a lot like your operating system. So, all right, good to know. All right, let us move on to some other things, including the Skill of the Month update for March. Really nothing to say here. Nothing's changed. Still JM Andy, still in first place with roughly 4 million. Second place, Parnassus with 2.4. And third place, Zahara Knight, 934,000 XP. And gets interesting between fourth and fifth, where we got Minor Goo and Maremska battling for fifth place. So that's really the only race going on. So at this point, we'll just say congratulations to JM Andy, assuming nobody else gets more than, well, 1.6 million XP in Parnassus' case by the time the month ends.
Minor Goo and Maremska are battling for fourth, not fifth.
Oh, oops.
But I guess there is a battle for not fifth. I don't know. There's also a battle for last right now. Two people are in last place with 0 points. They're trying to figure out who's going to be last more than the other, I guess. How dare you sign up and not get any XP?
Well, you never know what could happen, so...
summoning, there could be a huge spike on the last day.
Yeah, that's been known to happen, actually. But the skill of the month for April is cooking. So that one will be an interesting one to watch, since it is so cheap to train. Definitely looking forward to see what we got there. Maybe we can get a good race going on near the end, and it'll be something to watch. So sign up for cooking. You have about a day left at the time of hearing this.
Yay, cooking. Be a master chef. Be an iron chef. All right. All right.
Yeah, I'll do the first achievement of the week. First one is, once again, Parcel Mouth. 99 defense on the 27th.
And we have Pingyu IN. We got 99 attack on March 26th. Congratulations to you both. Yay!
AKA Penguin.
Thank you, Ian.
Yep.
Thank you.
All right. No, you have to pronounce the I in the end. You have to enunciate the I.
Penguin. In. I. In. In. Oh.
All right. Wow, Shane.
What was that? Regular jazz.
Okay, all right, pick of the week time.
All right, well, I just found this one up. And for those of you who are maybe too far to actually go to a museum or cannot afford the crazy admissions ticket, there is a virtual online museum tour for the Smithsonian's National Museum of Natural History. And it works pretty well when you have it on Google, on Chrome.
Sounds cool.
So I guess first and foremost, if you are going to a website, two things. One, the mouse controls are not inverted, so do keep that in mind. And number two, it goes really, really fast.
Yeah, that's true. You have to be careful. Make sure you don't get yourself motion sick.
Or just hurt your eyes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can actually, there's a little Easter egg to notice that if you on the home page, on the loading screen in the beginning, if you actually look down to the floor, you actually see who made it.
Yeah. You know, I think this is the kind of thing you'd still want to go see in person, you know, like with all the dino statues and whatnot.
Yeah, so you can actually use your mouse wheel to zoom in to read the little things. It's actually pretty clear. Just watch your mouse controls because it will really fly.
Woo!
Wee! And of course, if you actually go around, you have plenty of arrows for you to pick to click on to go around. And you move, you have all the maps of the different floors. And what's actually also interesting is that some of the places have little camera icons you click on to get like more information on certain exhibits. It's quite nice, Shane.
Yeah, but the question is, the only thing is you don't get the interactivity of it, you know? And for me, that's a big thing when you go to places like this.
Oh,
and sometimes
you actually
need that
nice
interactivity, right, Kola? Right?
Yeah, exactly. When you go to museums, something might not be what it seems. Or maybe it's exactly what it is, and you just don't believe that's what it is. So then you end up having to find out for yourself.
Yeah, and you know that,
what
it's all about.
What did you do?
Nothing.
Okay, but actually what they really need to do is put a little audio tour actually doing this. That's quite nice. Alright, so this is my little pick of the week. Audio.
Put a little what? Oh yeah.
Audio.
What about a thermal sensor? Or some
what's the point of that?
Or some haptic controls to feel what it's actually like.
You want smell-o-vision?
Yeah. I'm just trying to go to the restrooms.
Try that before
right
it didn't
now
fly. Actually, well,
following the signs to the restrooms, but where is it? I don't know. Hard to tell.
This looks like a really cool museum. I think I'd actually like to go there.
Yeah, same. This is in Washington D.C.
Field trip.
Yep, it's D.C.
Okay, who's paying?
If you join our army, you can actually get in for free. Just saying.
So you're saying that you can join the army, go visit the museum, and then quit the army.
Or become a U.S. citizen and be over the age of 65, and I believe also you can get in for free. So just saying. Just time.
I don't know. I prefer to join the army and then, you know, go there and then quit.
I just pay the $12.50, but, you know, whatever the hell it is.
Oh, $12.50. That's not that expensive.
Unless no war were declared.
You didn't say it was. You're the
I
one
didn't say
that
it was expensive.
You said it was expensive.
Well, only if you value your life to join the army and get it for free.
Yeah, but you could quit unless war were declared.
You can quit. You'd also be dishonorably discharged and it'd be bad.
Yeah, and trust me, Shane, I can see all that information if you ever do. I really do.
What? What kind of information?
If you quit the army and all that, so if you had dishonorable discharge and everything else, I see all that information.
Oh, yeah, right.
I'm disappointed in you guys. That was a Futurama reference, and none of you got it. Well,
I
Shane,
got it.
I expect to not get
dude,
it.
Dude, Shane. Oh,
I'm Patrick.
Okay.
I'm
Kala.
Or Patrick. Not
shut
Mike.
Up. Shut up. Yes, I know what it was from, Kala. I heard it, and quite frankly, Shane and Paul were talking, so they couldn't interrupt.
Okay.
But
well,
I bet 95% of our viewers knew where it was from. So have faith in that.
I think probably closer to 50%. 95% of people who watch Futurama probably got that.
Okay, so all right, let's start wrapping this thing up. So, guys, what have y'all been doing this week?
I got 98 defense. I mean, not 98, 97.
Okay. Kala?
Boring stuff. Finals
Big
week.
Fries and a Coke.
Finals week is coming up. Yeah. Thanks, Trekkie. I actually haven't been working during the week. I just work on the weekends, but I have taken Easter off because I'm cool like that.
So, well, quick question. Is it true that McDonald's has a giant vat of gray matter they just squirt out in order to make whatever they're feeding the people?
Yeah, of course. You didn't know that? Come on, man.
Take a picture of it next time. It'll be fun.
Yeah, I will. I'm sure I'll leak company secrets towards an outsider.
All right, so Paul.
No, we actually had a number of discussions about this week, actually. Like, how do you get fresh fries at McDonald's, for example?
You ask for fresh fries. Like, don't be a jerk.
No, you ask for them without salt.
No, you don't ask for them without salt and then ask for salt on them. Just ask for fresh fries and they'll give you fresh fries. Like, seriously, it's so simple. My goodness.
Okay, then there's another story about the eggs.
Oh, yeah.
Real eggs versus fake eggs.
Yeah.
They're pretty fake.
At least they were not horse meat.
Just ask for the real eggs and people will know what you mean. Or
okay.
Just don't eat it.
Oh, that's great.
Because it's actually kind of bad for you.
Yes, that's true.
All right.
Paul, what were you up to this week?
Lots of freaking homework. It sucks. I'm so tired right now. I'm running on about 2 hours of sleep in the past number of hours. So I'm going to go to sleep after this. And it's going to be pretty cool.
You deserve it.
Yep.
All right. Okay, as for me, RS-wise, I fit in my ports. I did a little bit of Pyramid Plunder, but I went back to the Rogues then just to have a little fun with it and test things out again. The one where you kind of be a jerk and steal. It's still pretty decent, actually. There are still people in there, which is a little bit surprising. Real life wise, just work and finish up some minor papers that I had due, and it's going to be raining this weekend, so it's going to be fun.
You're writing papers about minors?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Oh.
I was writing some minor papers.
Okay. What were they mining?
They were trying to deduce if pi was exactly 3.
Well, it's not. So.
And we were trying to crack the code of what is the meaning of life.
42?
Yep. We're trying to prove that theorem. All right. That's it for me.
All right. Well, with that being said, thank you for joining us, everyone. We'll be back next week for a full show of April goodness. See you then, and look forward to the upcoming beta. Good night, everyone.
Bye-bye. Take care.
Bye, everybody.